If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 down through verse 10 of that chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. And begin reading with verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to come to church, hear your word preached, have fellowship one with another. And Father, we thank you for our pastor. Lord, I pray that you will fill him with your power, with your spirit as he comes and preaches to us. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here and listening by way of internet. Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to learn and grow closer to you so we can go tell others about you and how much you love us and care for us. Father, we thank you for your son. He came to die upon the cross for our sins. And Lord, I do pray that for one who doesn't know you as a personal savior, that today will be the day of salvation. Father, we thank you for our college kids. I just pray that you'll be with them as they travel back this week and just give them safety and strength and give them a good semester. And Lord, we thank you all for all that you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Acts chapter 3. There's an insert in your bulletin with some notes if you want to fill those out. I want to speak to you on the subject, to be used of God. I think all of us have or should have the desire to want to be used of God. We're talking about stewardship this month, and as we think about God using us in our stewardship and us being obedient to the Lord, we find that there are three different levels of giving to which God calls us. First of all, he calls us to bring our tithes. Our tithe is 10% of our increase that we bring to him. We read those verses this morning. I'll read them for you again in Malachi chapter 3, if you want to go back there with me, and verses 8 and 9 and 10. The Lord gives us some instructions in relation to our tithe. He says in verse 8, Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Lord gives us some instructions there in relation to our tithing. And God viewed Israel's failure to tithe as robbing God. And again, we talked about that this morning. The result of their failure to tithe was that they were cursed with a curse. The Lord tells us that when we bring our tithe, then God blesses us. He opens the windows of heaven. I think all of us would agree we'd rather have a blessing than a curse. Amen? We'd rather have God's blessing than be under his curse. And so God commands us to bring the tithe. Tithing is not just a nice idea. It's not just a noble gesture of those who are spiritually mature. God commands tithing, and failure to do so is equal to robbing God. And in verse 10, God promises an incredible blessing to those who obey him. Tithing may not look possible to you on paper, when you put down all your bills and put it beside your income. You may say every dollar is already spoken for and consumed. finding money to tithe is impossible. We may feel that way, but sometimes people even say, well, it's either tithe or eat. But you know, it's interesting that God has commanded us to tithe. And God has promised when we do that, He will bless us. And so He challenges us, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. And God wants us to put Him to the test. Why not try it? Why not try Him? May I remind you of Elijah and the story of the widow in the Old Testament. When Elijah came and the widow was gathering some sticks to make she had just enough meal and oil to make a cake for her and her son. That's all they had. There was famine in the land. And she was preparing to do that, and Elijah came and he said, first he asked for a drink, and then he asked her to make him a cake first. She said, I've just got enough for me and my son. And she said, well, make me one first. She didn't have any extra. Everything was spoken for, her and her son, and that was it. But she honored the request of the man of God. She made the cake for Elijah first, and you know the story of what happened. There was more meal in the barrel and more oil in the cruse. And for 3.5 years, every time she went there, God provided the meal, and God put a little bit more oil in the cruse. He didn't fill the barrel full of meal. He gave her just enough for each time. And that's what God does in our life. God has a way of taking the 90% that we have after we give His 10% and making it sufficient to meet the needs in our lives. So the first level of giving is tithing. The second level of giving is free will offerings. That which is given from our excess, that which is over and above the tithe that we give to the Lord. Go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 35, and I want you to look at a couple of verses there, Genesis and then Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And in Exodus chapter 5, we find the Bible talking about this matter of free will offerings that we bring to the Lord. In verse number 4, Exodus 35, it says, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel." It's interesting, he said all the congregation. That included the boys and the girls, that included the men and the women, that included the widows, that included the retirees. God says, all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. This is what God commanded them, saying, verse 5, take ye from among you an offering. Now, he's not talking about tithe here. He says, take an offering unto the Lord. Whenever we give our offering, ought to always give it unto the Lord, shouldn't we? And we do that through what Malachi 3:10 says. We do it through, we bring it to the local church, to the storehouse. He says, bring the offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. There's the key to this verse. The key to free will offering, it is free will. It's a willing heart. It's a willing spirit. He says, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. And then drop down to verse 20 and 21 of that same chapter. And he says in verse 20, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. So here are people that brought willingly. Verse 22 says, and they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels and gold. Every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now, they were bringing these offerings, free will offerings, for a special purpose. The free will offering is that offering that we bring to the Lord. It is over and above our tithe, and it is, as we said, a free will offering. It's different from the tithe. It's given from a willing heart. I'm sorry to say that not everybody who tithes has a willing heart. Some people do it because God commanded us to. We want to obey, but sometimes we struggle. But this free will offering we give over and above is of a willing heart. And God blesses again as a result as we willingly come. Tithe, next level, free will offering, that which we give over and above. The tithe is, you might say, God's rent. We're paying God rent for living on His earth and breathing His air. That's what God requires of us. The offering is what we give over and above our tithe that expresses our love and appreciation to the Lord. But there's a third level of giving, and that's the sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. Look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 with me. In the first four verses there in that chapter. Luke chapter 21. And I want you to notice what the Lord says there. The sacrificial giving occurs when we give something that we have or need to meet the needs of someone else. We give something that we have or need to meet the needs of somebody else. In Luke chapter 21 in verse 1 it says, he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. This is talking about Jesus. He's at the temple. He sees the rich people casting their gifts into the treasury. Verse 2, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. You see, the rich people, God said, they just gave out of what they had. It was no big deal. They had plenty, and so they took some of what they had, they put it in the offering. But God said, this widow gave all she had. She sacrificed. You see, I think sometimes the Lord is more concerned not about the amount that we give, but the balance that's left over after we give. Have we just given out of our excess? Have we just given out of our abundance? Or do we sometimes go to that third level of sacrificing, of giving something that we need for ourselves, but we give it to help meet the needs of someone else? That's sacrificial giving. A father one time asked his little six-year-old girl what would happen if a child was given everything that they asked for. The little girl, very wisely, she said they would become greedy and not appreciate what they have. He then asked her what a child with a lot of toys might do to avoid developing a greedy, ungrateful heart. And she said, well, they could give away some of their toys to other children that are poor. Then the father asked her, which one of your toys would you like to give away to the poor children? She paused, she thought for a moment, and she said, well, maybe some of the ones that I don't play with anymore. Wrong answer, right? And her father said, the greatest blessing might come from giving away your favorite toy or the ones you play with the most. That would be sacrificial giving. You see, it's easy for us to give when we have plenty. It's easy for us to tithe when everything looks good and all the bills are paid. We tithe, then we give our offering, then we do that sacrificial giving is the third level when we give over and above from something that we need to help meet the needs of someone else. One of the greatest influences for Christ in the 19th century was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. Henry Varley made a statement that changed D.L. Moody's life forever. Henry Varley said this. He said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is totally dedicated to God. D.L. Moody was born in 1837 in Northridge, Massachusetts. His family was not poor. They were very poor. His father died at the age of 41, and the creditors took everything his family had, even took their firewood to use to warm the home. They were so poor that when the mother took the children to church, she would make them walk barefooted to church, carry their shoes and socks, and before they entered the church, they would put their shoes and socks on and go into church so that they would not wear their shoes and socks out. D.L. Moody became later a great salesman, and guess what he sold? You guessed it, he sold shoes. He was led to the Lord in the back room, a little back room of the shoe store by his Sunday school teacher by the name of Mr. Kimball. D.L. Moody wasn't the sharpest kid on the block. He was illiterate and he couldn't speak very well. In fact, he wanted to join his church and they at that time had a membership class to take and he flunked the membership class. The second year they let him join even though he was incredibly illiterate. At the age of 30, he decided he would sell his shoe business and serve the Lord full-time as a layman. He spoke at his church the first time, and after he preached the first time in his church, one of the deacons came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, I think you could best serve God by remaining silent for the rest of your life." Now, wouldn't that encourage you to be a preacher? Another man came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, you have bad grammar." And Mr. Moody said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I noticed you have good grammar." The man said, "Yes, I do." And D.L. Moody said, "And what are you doing for God with your good grammar?" Moody went on to Dublin, Ireland, and it was there that he heard Mr. Varley say, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is totally dedicated to God." And Moody said, he said, "A man who is totally dedicated to God." He didn't say a great man. He didn't say a learned man. He didn't say a smart man. He just said a man. D.L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." D.L. Moody went on to preach to more than 100 million people, and thousands of men and women came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior through the preaching of D.L. Moody. A man who was used of God. God wants to use every one of us. And the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who is totally yielded to the Lord. In our passage that we read tonight in Acts chapter 3, there are eight things that are mentioned there that God blesses. What kind of a man, what kind of a woman does God use? If I want to be used of God, what does it take? What can I do that will cause God to use me? First of all, God uses people that are doing right things. God uses people that are doing right things. If you look back at our text in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Here are two men of God. It is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and people were going to the temple, the Bible says, at the hour of prayer. They were going to the temple to do right thing. They were going to pray. If you want to be used of God, you must be willing to do right things. And one of those right things is praying. And part of that involves going to the temple or to the church to pray. That's why we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I believe if you want God to use you, you ought to be in prayer meeting on Wednesday night. You're to come and hear the word of God and pray and be a part of that. If you want God to use you, do the right things. Pray. Read your Bible. Tithe. Go to church faithfully. Witness. Tell others about the Lord. You don't have to do spectacular things. You don't even have to do exciting things or sensational things. God wants people to do right things. To do what's right. D.L. Moody's Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, was doing the right thing when he witnessed to D.L. Moody and won him to Christ. If you want God to use you, you must be willing to do right things. Secondly, God uses people who are willing to be interrupted. People who are willing to be interrupted. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." We talk about God using people who are willing to be interrupted. I'm talking about people who love people. People who care about other people. Peter and John were going to the church. They were going to the temple and they were stopped maybe in the lobby, we would say, of the church, or maybe outside the door of the church. And they were willing to be interrupted. They're going to pray, but they allowed this man to interrupt them in order to be used of God. Did you ever meet somebody that didn't like people? Some people like that. They just don't like people. Charlie Brown said, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." Sometimes we say the ministry would be a breeze if it weren't for people. Well, we wouldn't have a ministry if we didn't have people, right? God uses people who love people, people who care. Jesus died for people, didn't he? He died for people. So they interrupt your plans. They interrupt your schedule. And God says, that's the kind of person that I can use, somebody who can be interrupted. This world one day is going to pass away, but people are going to last forever. And it's our job to sometimes be interrupted so that we can meet the need, so that we can point people to Jesus Christ and see them come to know Him. There's a third thing. God uses people who pay attention to needs. People who pay attention to needs. If you look at verse number 4, it says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Here's the man coming, and this man asks for an alms. They understood he had some needs. They saw that he needed something. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter and John have any needs of their own? Absolutely, they did. You see, givers don't have less than others. They just decide to be more blessed to give than to receive. Givers don't concentrate on themselves, they concentrate on others. Notice what Peter and John could have said. They could have said, we'd love to help you, sir, but we're on our way to church to pray. You know, I've had some times in years going by, we don't do this much anymore because of safety, but I've had times when I was going somewhere and had to be somewhere, and somebody was broke down along the side of the road, and I had to be willing to be interrupted to stop and help them. There are times when we have to be willing to interrupt our schedule and our plan. We see the needs that other people have, and we care about them. Prayer sometimes can become a big cop-out for Christians. I'm praying about sharing my faith. I'm praying about tithing. I'm praying about singing in the choir. I'm praying about teaching a Sunday school class. I'm praying about working with the young people. I'm praying about going soul winning. I'm praying about working in the nursery. It's time for us to get out of the prayer closet and start meeting the needs of people. There are people all around us that have needs. Are we willing to interrupt our problems, and are we willing to pay attention to the needs of other people? They could have said, why is it every time we go to church we have to do everything? Sunday's a day of rest. I didn't come to give, I came to receive. Some of you take your babies to the nursery. Thank you. Thank you. It gives you a break, and it gives those around you the opportunity to hear the message and to hear the service. But don't forget, the person working in the nursery is giving an hour or two of their time so that you can worship. They understand you have a need, and they're helping to meet your need. Ushers get here before the service so that they can give you a bulletin, so they can help you find a class, so they can welcome you to church. The choir comes early to practice, and the special music folks come, and the orchestra to practice, so that they can minister to meet our needs. Let me ask you a question. If everybody put as much work into the service this evening as you did, what kind of service would we have? What am I giving? Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. They were willing to meet the needs of this man. They didn't ignore that man because they were givers. They were partners with God, and God works through people if we're available to Him. And then fourthly, God uses people that inspire hope in others. They're motivators. People that inspire hope in others. People who are motivators. Look at verse 4 and 5. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Let me just stop there and say this. What if people did look on you? What would they see? Look on us. Can we tell people, look at my life, look at the way I'm living? Would they see Christ? Would they see what a Christian ought to be? Peter and John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, notice this, expecting to receive something of them. Here were two men who inspired hope in this man. look on us. And he looked expecting something. He didn't get money, but he got something better than that, didn't he? You know why people like to be around givers? They like to be around givers, not to get money, but because we get encouraged. We get hope. We get kind words. We get compliments. When you enter into a room, when you come into church service, are you all worried about what people think about you? Or do you come into the service and ask yourself, what can I give here? Who can I help? Who can I be an encouragement to? You know, it would be a good thing in our prayer time each day as we start out the day to ask God, Lord, who can I be an encouragement to today? You know, there's some people that are, they just, when you're around them, they just drain you. You know, there's givers and takers. There's some people that are just taking and they drain you. I know people that drain me. I don't like to be around them, but I also know people that lift me up. I like to be around them. They inspire me. God uses that kind of person. Today's Vicky's birthday. She's years old. And last night, Vicky and I went out to dinner with Dr. Keene and his wife, Mary. And Dr. Keene just inspires me. I just like to be around him. He's one of those type of guys that lifts you up and encourages you. And that's the kind of person all of us ought to want to be. People who inspire hope in others. And then God also uses people who use what they have. They're willing to use what they have. Look at verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. These men were willing to use what they had. Now what do we have? We might have to say, silver and gold have I none. That may be true of a lot of us. But I want to tell you something. We've got the gospel, don't we? We have what can give, and that's what Peter and John gave to this man. They healed him, and he came to know the Savior. We have the gospel. We can share the gospel with everybody, and every one of us can do that. Such as I have, give I unto you. Givers always find a way to give. It may just be a kind note. It may be a phone call. It may be a kind word that we say to somebody. But givers find a way to give. But you know what? Takers always find a way to take too, don't they? Are you taking from people or are you giving to people? Someone wrote these words, there are two kinds of people on earth today, not the good and the bad, for 'tis well understood that the good are half bad and the bad are half good. No, the two kinds of people on earth, I mean, are people who lift and people who lean. There are some people just lift you up and encourage you. There are some people that are willing to give what they have to encourage somebody else. And that ought to be our goal. We shouldn't come into church gossiping about everybody else. We ought to come in encouraging people. We shouldn't be talking about other people. We ought to be encouraging one another. Same thing's true in our family, in our home. We ought to encourage our mates. We ought to encourage our children. Yeah, there are times when we have to correct, and there are times when we have to deal with, but encourage. I think they say for every one time you correct your child, you ought to praise them seven times. They ought to know that we love them, and we ought to praise them and encourage them and lift them up. And then God uses people who realize their source of giving is God. Our source of giving is God. Back to verse number 6, Peter and John. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John realized they didn't have silver and gold, but they had God. And they acknowledged that what they were about to do with this man was God. And when we understand that God is our source, it's God's power. It's His ability to give. It's God's provision. It's His willingness to give. And it's God's partnership. It's His reason to give. He wants to give through us. If we're available, He is our source. And we don't have to stop and say, silver and gold have I none. We can say, I have a God who has plenty. And if God wants me to help you, He'll provide it for me so that I can help you. You see, God's goal for us when we pray, God's goal is not for us to pray to the Lord and ask God for things and pray, Lord, give me, and then just stuff it in our pockets. That's not God's goal. We're not to do like this and stuff it in our pockets. Here's what we're supposed to do. We're to ask from the Lord, and then we're to go like this and give it to somebody else. And we ask for the Lord, and then we give it to somebody else. And we ask for the Lord. That's what God wants to do. And if we'll understand that He is our source of supply, God will use us. God always works through people. All the way back in the Old Testament, when God sent the flood, He used Noah, didn't He? To build an ark. When the Israelites were captive in Egypt, God used Moses to lead them out of the land of Egypt. When they came to Jericho, God used Joshua. And Joshua gave them instructions and they marched around the walls. And God gave them a great victory. When Jesus, God's Son, came into this world, He used a man by the name of John the Baptist who said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." God always works through people. And God wants you and I to understand that we can have a partnership with God. God supplies and we share. God is the creator, and we are the channel through which He gives. God pours it on, and we pass it out. And God wants to use you and me. Could I say to you tonight, we are in trouble when we feel independent. When we feel like we are the source of the supply, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble when we feel inadequate. When we say there is no source, there is no supply. God does not care who He uses as long as we're willing to be sold out to Him and as long as we're willing to understand that He is the source. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And say in the name of Peter. And say in the name of John, they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And that brings me to, the next to the last thing. The next thing is God uses people who are willing to try and trust God to do the rest. He uses people who are willing to try. In other words, we're willing to do what we can and trust God to do the rest. We may think, "I can't tithe." Are we willing to trust God to do it? "I can't give to missions. I can't give offerings above my tithe. I can't give sacrificially. I can't set up sowing accounts. I can't." It's easy for us to say, "I can, I can't, I can't." We have a lot of cancer Christians, don't we? "I can't, sir. I can't, sir. I can't, sir." And we understand, no, we can't, but we have a God who can, don't we? And when we are willing to try and trust God to do the rest, Peter said, "I don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Peter lifted up the crippled man, and God did the rest. God's the one that healed him. And then God uses people who want to give God the glory. People that want to give God the glory. Look at verses 11 and 12 of Acts chapter 3. It says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus.'" In other words, they said, "Why are you looking at us? We didn't do it. It's God." Boy, there's some healers of our day need to learn that, don't they? Or fake healers, whatever they are. They need to learn to give God the glory and give God the praise. When D.L. Moody was in New York City one time, a man gave him a huge financial gift for his school. And Moody said to the man, he said, "If you ever come to Chicago, I'll return the favor to you." And the man said, "Don't wait on me. You return the favor to the first person you see when you get back to Chicago." It's kind of what we call pay it forward, isn't it? Do it for somebody else. And it may not always be money that we give. It may be time that we give. It may be a kind word. It may be a phone call. It may be babysitting so a young couple can have an evening out together alone. It may be cooking some chocolate chip cookies for an elderly couple. It may even be baking some snickerdoodles. You know what snickerdoodles are? That's manna. That's what the children of Israel had. And if you don't have anybody to do something nice for, remember your pastor, okay? God uses people that want to give the glory to God. You know, it's amazing what God does through us when we're willing to let Him use us. So in closing tonight, I want to ask you a few questions. Are you tithing? That's the first level of giving. Are you giving free will offerings? That's the second level. Have you gone to that third level, that higher level? Are you doing any sacrificial giving? Taking from something I need to help somebody else with their need. Is God using you like He used Peter and John? You say, preacher, I want to be used of God. Are you doing right things? Are you doing what you know to be right? I've said this often. I believe America could have its greatest revival if every Christian would do what we know is right to do. Just do right. Are you willing to be interrupted? Well, we can get on our mission, can't we? I got to do this. And God forbid anybody should interrupt us from our mission. Sometimes God needs us to be interrupted to care about the needs of other people. Do we pay attention to the needs of others? Do we inspire hope? Are we a motivator? Are we lifting up or are we leaning? Do you use what you have for God? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Do you realize your source of giving is God? You know, when we realize our source of giving is God, our giving is unlimited, isn't it? He's the source. Are you willing to try and trust God to do the rest? And are you willing to give God all the glory? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I hope all of us would say, I want to be used of God. Would you help us? Help us to do the right things in our giving, in our helping others, in our giving you the glory. And may the way we act and the way we respond to situations and circumstances and things in life cause people to know that we care about them more than we do about ourselves. We care about their needs. We're genuinely concerned. And we're willing to be interrupted and even willing to sacrifice so that you can use us and we can give the glory to you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.